Have your Bibles open up to the book of Daniel, please. Hope everyone's had a good week. I ask that you continue to pray for us. We are finishing up with the painting of the house there. And I have to say, I'm kind of, as weird as this is going to sound for someone that always thought he'd hate painting, I've enjoyed it. It's been kind of fun. It's been something I've enjoyed doing. And it's just been a real blessing. Excuse me. The book of Daniel. I'm sorry, excuse me for a minute. Daniel and chapter 1. Sorry, not Daniel chapter 1. Y'all going to have to bear with me for a little bit. Daniel chapter 4. I apologize again. Daniel chapter 4. Starting in verse 28. The Bible says, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the honor and the blessing of being able to be here and to preach and teach your word. God, I pray that you would be with us today. Help us to love you. Help us to serve you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to study a portion of your word. Help us to be able to rightly divide thy word of truth. And God, I pray if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, God, I pray that you just bring them to that place where they know that they need you. Now, God, I pray also today that if there be one here today and, Lord, they're having doubts, they're having troubles and struggles, I pray that you would just encourage them. Help them to honor you. Help them to love you. Help them to just magnify your name and help them to trust in you today. Lord, I pray that we would have a real faith, a living faith, and help us to live a life that glorifies you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Daniel, in chapter 4, we find, starting in verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now imagine, here's the king. He's all excited. He's kind of looking around. And he's thinking to himself, you know, he is the quote-unquote most high potentate in a kingdom. He is the man that seemingly has all power. And so he walks in, walking in the palace, and the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon? He's kind of looking around at his palace and he's thinking about the kingdom that he's ruling over. He said, isn't this great Babylon? Isn't this mighty and wonderful power? Then he says that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Now, he says, and this is where he gets to the root here. Look what I've done. Look how wonderful I am. Now, just for a moment, before we get too hard on Nebuchadnezzar, let's think about ourselves sometimes. Do we ever get lifted up in pride about something we've done? We ever get lifted up in pride about maybe what we got or how hard we worked for something? I'm going to tell you, I got a little prideful painting. Now, I've told you before, I don't paint. I'm not a painter. I'm awful. It is the worst paint job usually you'll ever see in your life. But man, I painted the ceilings. And Terry even brags, and man, that looks good, Troy. I got to thinking, yeah, that did look pretty good, didn't it? You ever get like that? Well, you know what happened? Yesterday, I got the bright idea that I'm going to paint the kitchen. Oh, man, if I can paint the ceilings, I can paint the kitchen. It covers good. I got in there and I missed spots. I forgot to paint behind the refrigerator. Man, it was a mess. And Tara said, you missed here, you missed here, you missed here. And you know, she wasn't being mean. She was just telling me, you know, I got to think, you know, it serves me right. You know, isn't it funny how even in those little instances like that, that God can humble us real good? Well, folks, this is the thing. Here's the king. Here's this man that's very powerful. Now remember, he's seen God work in other things before. And here he is. Yeah. I'm pretty wonderful, ain't I? You know what? You know, I'm imagining him in the palace looking around. This is all because of me. Look what I did. Look at my might. Look at my power. And then he says, and for the honor of my majesty. Now what is majesty? That which is lifted up high. Really and truly, folks, majesty is something that is only or only should be regarded toward God. Because he is majestic, he is wonderful, he is the one to be high and lifted up. But here's Nebuchadnezzar putting him in that place of honor and being lifted up. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. I said, O king, you shouldn't have said that. Here we are. You're getting ready to figure it out. It's getting ready to happen. What is that? It said, the kingdom is departed from you. In other words, it's being taken from you. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now notice that in that verse. It said they're going to drive you from men. In other words, you're not going to be able to stay around men. You're going to be out with the beasts of the field, and you're going to eat grass just like an ox. In other words, you're going to be brought down to the level of a cow. In other words, it'd be like this, saying, you're going to go across the field over here, and you're going to sleep with the cattle, and you're going to eat with them. But then notice, until. This gives the idea of, this is going to be this way until what? Until you know. Until you come to full knowledge and understanding that the Most High, that is God, not you, Nebuchadnezzar, but God, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He's reminding him, and he's showing him, that King, you're nothing, I'm everything. Now folks, I want to say this today. Sometimes, we got to be reminded of that ourselves. Sometimes God puts us in a position where we have to depend totally upon Him. You ever thought about that? Why do bad things, quote unquote, happen to good people? Why do things happen a certain way? Sometimes, folks, the Lord is teaching us a lesson. It's a lesson of trust. Trust me. Think about Job. What happened with him? There he was, an upright man, a godly man by all accounts. And then Satan comes before God one day, and I'm paraphrasing here. He says, listen, what about Job? Let me rephrase that. God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, you know, he's all right, but if you take everything away from him, he won't serve you. Then, of course, we know what happened. He lost his children, lost his property, lost all of his wealth, and still yet he praised and honored God. Let me tell you, folks, what would we do if everything we had was taken away? Would we still praise God? Would we still lift His name up before a lost and dying world? Would we honor Him? Would we have a testimony of which we say, yes, I'm a servant of God. Yes, I'm going to trust Him no matter what happens. Well, here's Nebuchadnezzar, though. He's not like we are as children of God. Now, I don't believe at this point, and of course, there's debate about this, and I'm not going to debate it, because to be honest with you, this is my opinion. I really don't know. I don't think at this point he knows the Lord. I think he does come to know the Lord, but at this point, no. So, the Lord's saying, all right, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to show you who's in control. So, he takes the kingdom from him. And he says, I'll give it to whomsoever I will. I'll give it to whoever I desire. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. That very hour. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Man, his hair grew out. I always imagine King Nebuchadnezzar is probably a pretty sharp-looking guy. Probably very trim, very fit. He had the nice clothes, well manicured. Well, here he looks like something that'd be out in the field. Verse 34, and at the end of the days. At the end of what days? The days that this was to be fulfilled. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven. and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Verse 34, He said, I lifted mine eyes, and He said, Then my understanding returned. I think when it's talking about His understanding returned, He come to see that He was not in a good place. I believe He looked down, He's probably thinking, and again, forgive me here, I'm kind of thinking out loud here. Perhaps He was thinking to Himself, wow, here I had everything. I had good food, good clothes, my hair was trimmed, my nails were done, I had a good place to sleep, and here I am looking, and I'm sitting here eating grass, and I look like a wild animal. And then I think His understanding returned in the sense that He come to His senses like, wow, Lord, You showed me. You showed me I'm nothing. I am just nothing. I don't know how else to say it. So His understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He praised Him. And then we notice, and honored Him. And honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. He said He praised, He honored Him, because He's the one who lives forever, always been, always will be, whose dominion, that is His ruling, is an everlasting ruling. In other words, He has total authority. And His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth, notice this, are reputed as nothing. In the eyes of God, in comparison to Him, even the greatest of men are nothing. Understand that. God does not have to get permission from you to do anything. God does not have to get your permission or my permission. God can do what He wants to do. And He doeth according to His will and the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? In other words, you nor I have any right to say, God, why have You allowed this to happen to me, or why am I going through this? Now let me say this. Human nature, we're going to ask why. Okay? It's going to happen. When someone passes away, especially someone that is young, what's the first thing we think? Why? We don't understand it. But I tell you what, God understands. God knows, because it is according to His plan and purpose. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking the question, Lord, why would this happen? But the question is, do we have the right to look at Him and shake our finger in His face and say, you had no right to do that? There's the difference. We can try to understand, but at the end of the day, it is because God is doing so according to His plan and purpose, whatever it would be. At the same time, verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. He said, at that point in time, things were restored, people came back to me, Then notice in verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." Isn't this a big contrast from what it was before? What it was before is it was all about Nebuchadnezzar. Look at me, look what I've done. See, this is what happens when God gets a hold of someone and God reveals that He is everything and we are nothing. Notice the change of attitude. It's no more about Nebuchadnezzar, but notice, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol, lift up and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment." And notice, "And those that walk in pride, He is able to abase." He said, those who get lifted up in pride and arrogance, He can humble them. Let me tell you something. I've been there. And you know what? Knowing me, I'll be there again. The fact of the matter is, folks, not a one of us have arrived. Not a one of us is perfect in anything that we've done or will do or are doing. You know why? Because of sinful flesh. But you know what, though? We can still yet honor God. We can still yet lift His name up. We can still yet tell others, "Listen, the God I serve, He can do anything and everything." Let me tell you today, folks, maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're struggling. God can take care of you. God can give you exactly what you need when you need it. Let me tell you something else, folks. God can take care of Friendship Baptist Church. God can do it. The thing is, folks, we have to remember that this is the Lord's church, the Lord's work, and we can have confidence in Him. Let's not get confident in the arm of the flesh, but let's be confident in God, because He not only rules and reigns over the affairs of men and whose kingdoms are set up, but He rules and reigns in every facet and area of our life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the blessings You give us. God, I ask that You would help us today to honor You, help us to love You, help us to lift Your name up. And God, I pray that You'd be with this church. Help us to do the things that please You. Help us to, Lord, have a good spirit. Help us to trust You and help us to honor You in all we do. Now, God, I ask that You would lead us, guide us, and direct us, and help us to serve You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.